Thank you, sir. All right. Thank you. Thank you all. With that, number 12 is what I have next on my agenda if we are ready to go with our folks addressing number 12. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Good morning. My name is David Mallett. I'm a habitat biologist here in Region 1 at Rapid City. I'm going to be, I've got the privilege of giving some updates on what our habitat crew has been doing out here. So originally there's going to be two of us, Austin Yoakum, my colleague who handles all of our food plots and native grass restoration projects, couldn't make it today. He's actually got held up working on one of the projects I'm going to be highlighting. So I'll do my best to fill in for him. So yes, we're going to be highlighting some of the food plots and native grass projects we are currently working on or accomplishing, and also some of our woody habitat projects, some hardwood or deciduous tree release projects, some pine thinning, non-native species removal, and our tree and shrub plantings. So first off, we'll talk about the food plots. So we plant a little over 1,000 acres annually with food plots. We are greatly assisted by our Pheasants Forever's partners. We have one based in Shade Hill and one at the Hill Ranch GPA, which is down in Fall River County. Up at Shade Hill, they plant a little over 300 acres. Shade Hill is about 160, 170 acres this year. And then Austin, with help from our other habitat biologists and Rapid, are almost 600 acres. And then we have a little bit more, just depends on the GPA. There's a few neighboring landowners that would contract to plant some food plots. It's probably another 100, 150 acres. We do rotate some quite a few crops that Austin's got a nice rotation system going, anything from corn and soybean, sorghum, Sudan grass, alfalfa, oats, cover crop mixes, winter wheat, sunflowers, red milo. So the first project I'll highlight is a grass restoration down at the Todd GPA in Bennett County. So this is an area that was basically really taken over by some cool season non-native grasses, some smooth brome and crested wheat grass especially. So Austin's plan was to kind of tackle this 50 acres at a time. So he'd mow off the grass, spray it out with Roundup, 50 acres per year, plant back some Roundup ready crops, typically corn and soybeans, and then after 3 years he plant that back to native grass. So it takes about 3 years to get rid of the seed bank for those that cool season invasive grasses. So this was started in 2022 with the first acres. You can kind of see over there, that's the initial 50 acres, and then planted in the corn and beans. And so we kind of did that rotation, adding 50 acres each year here. And then in 2025 was the first 50 acres planted into native grass. So this was the first year with corn and soybeans grown under it. And so in 2023, we had 100 acres of corn and soybeans. Down there, it's here in July, the corn's doing really well. You know, even in a drought year in 2024, we're still getting good, especially for West River, pretty good production on the corn out there. And then in 2025 was the first year putting into native grass. And this GPA down there, we do have a pretty good density of grouse and pheasants. And so he decided to put in 25 acres of a final flush cover crop mix to benefit those species, and still doing well with the corn and beans for that year. And so just a timeline to finish out this project, you know, through 26 and 27 will be another 50 acres being converted into native grass, and then finish up in 28. So all told, we'll have about 200 acres converted into native grass, and then we'll have 50 acres of a permanent food plot out there. And kind of a second project here also at the same GPA, Todd GPA, this is another 70 acres of native grass conversion, started in 22 as well. Kind of the same issue with smooth brome and crested wheatgrass down there. We wanted to convert that back into some warm season grasses and some native forbs. So this is what it looked like spring of 21, mowed and sprayed off in spring of 22. The first summer, late summer, had a pretty good response with the warm season grasses, and some of the forbs were coming in. Next year, the forbs really started coming in, especially the black-eyed Susan there. And then in 24, even bigger response from some of our native forbs there. The warm season grass was kind of declining over that, but we're pretty happy with how that turned out overall with those forbs still holding strong. So that kind of highlights some of our food plots and native grass projects that we've been doing here lately. I'm going to switch gears a little bit to our woody habitat projects. Going to highlight four of those for you. A hardwood release up at the Marcotte GPA, Crow Peak pine thinning and hardwood release, Russian olive removal project, and a Billsburg fencing and planting project. First I'll highlight is our Marcotte GPA, which is just outside the town of Sturgis. We're right on the city limits there. You kind of see the first neighborhood. So it gets a lot of hunting pressure and use by the public there. This project was funded from our PR dollars and National Wild Turkey Federation. Objective was to encourage our bur oak growth. And to do that, we were wanting to remove the competition, namely pine saplings and seedlings, as well as some of the ironwood that was grown in there. So there's three areas that we identified that we had pretty good oak stands growing in, but they need a little bit of help. That totaled about 36 acres, and this was contracted. And contractor used equipment. This is actually a picture of our equipment, but it's very similar in style. So used a disc style mulching head, which has teeth on the front, top, and back. And so the tool, they'll cut the tree down and then it'll suck it in and grind it up, basically turn it in mulch all at once. So it's a very efficient and effective tool. So some before and after pictures here. You can see in the before here in the foreground, the tree with the dead leaves on it. So this is taken in the winter. That's the ironwood, and then we've got a bunch of pine saplings and seedlings coming up. Afterwards, see, we really open that up. The bur oaks are right here, kind of in the middle. I've got a nice snag for this, great for wildlife habitat, and really opened up that space in there. We'll get a lot more understory growth with our grass and forbs that were present. And just another picture of that before and after. Didn't have as much pine here in this stand before, still a lot of ironwood, but really opened that up afterwards. And then mulch you see on the ground there, within one growing season or even maybe two or three, be hard pressed to find that. It'll melt away pretty fast. So the next project was at the Crow Peak GPA complex, and this is just outside the town of Spearfish. It's actually kind of three GPAs kind of put together. This was funded through a habitat stamp, and again with the National Wild Turkey Federation funding. And it was, I know it's kind of hard to see in this map here, but there's eight smaller projects kind of combined into one. And these range anything from oak and aspen enhancement projects, birch enhancement, and then actually even had a wild apple enhancement project, whereas I'm thinking it's remnants of an old orchard around a native spring, and there's a bunch of apple trees still growing up in there, so we wanted to make sure we kept those hanging around and so reduce the competition and release those trees there. A couple pine thinning projects. All told, this was about 20 acres on that area. Again, contracted, and it was done all through handwork. So chainsaw cutting and then lop and scatter and piling. The first area is an aspen project. And so this complex is probably about 1,000 acres, but less than 15 of it is aspen, which is a really important habitat in the Black Hills. Besides riparian areas, it's probably the most diverse habitat in the hills. So we really try and encourage that when we can. You see here, there's this pretty small aspen stand. Really can't really see it here because of the ironwood and pine and a little bit of oak saplings are in here. So what we like to do is come in before the contractor and do something called root ripping, where we take, it's just a single shank, metal shank on a skid steer, and you sever the roots all around the exterior of the aspen clone, and that stimulates those roots that are on the outside to send up new regen. So we're trying to expand that clone. So that's the first step of it, but then you got to protect that regen from all the hungry mouths that want to eat it. We don't have any grazing leases on this property, so it's mainly deer and elk, but they can still do a really big number on those. So we do something called hinging, and that's where we take all the trees that we don't want, so the pine and ironwood in this case, you make a cut on it, knock that tree over where it's still attached to the trunk, and it basically makes a big barrier where it's hard for those critters or discourages those animals from wanting to go in there and browse off the aspen. Those aspen will grow up through those branches that are laid over and have some protection until they get out of the browse zone. So it's kind of a two-for-one. We remove that competition as well as protect that regen. Another project, or another aspect of this project was a kind of a pine thinning and oak enhancement project. See the mature oak here. There's a bunch of pine in the background, a little hard to see, and a bunch of ironwood. And mainly we're thinning around the oak in here to encourage those, reduce that pine density. And there's enough material, we had to make some burn piles that will come back and burn later here in a couple winters to get rid of that. And then this one was our birch project. We don't work with birch a whole lot, mainly because we don't have a whole lot of it, but it's just important for species diversity that we keep that on our properties and on the landscape. A little harder to see here, but there's a bunch of pine regen and saplings that were growing up into this birch, and so we had the contractor to come in and take all that pine out. You can see here, it's all laid on the ground, a lop and scatter, and open up and give that birch a little more growing space in there. So the third project here is the oral GPA Russian olive removal project. So this was Hunt for Habitat funded, as well as Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation helped us out with this project. And with 61 acres over here on the east side, there's a drainage on the east side of this property that the Russian olive is really growing into. We contracted here again. The contractor came in, removed all the Russian olive with chainsaws, came back and did a stump application with herbicide. I don't know if you've ever dealt with Russian olive or cut it down, but if you cut Russian olive, you basically just make it mad and it sprouts aggressively back. So to kill it off, you really need to use a herbicide application. And then we came back in with the mastication equipment to clean up all that dead Russian olive. And then we also planted 600 native trees and shrubs, as well as kind of a second phase for the project. So why did we remove Russian olive? Well, Russian olive is extremely adaptable. It's tough and will outcompete any native trees and vegetation that we have. So you can see it's really thick here in the understory. We're concerned with these cottonwoods in here. Eventually, if left, that Russian olive would prevent any cottonwood regeneration in there. It just shaded all out in that drainage. There's still, with that Rocky Mountain juniper in there and that cottonwood in there, there's still quite a bit of cover left in there. So we felt okay removing this Russian olive in this case. You can see how it opened up in there. Hopefully we get a little bit more space in there, and we'll kind of monitor to see if we get any of that cottonwood regeneration. If not, we may do some supplemental planting with cottonwoods or willows in there. And just another brief picture of that, just some more Russian olive that we took out and opened it up in this area. And this is just a picture of the plantings that we did there. We do have a grazing lease on this property, so we did put up some fences to keep those cows out of there. We do use tree tubes on most of our plantings to help mitigate deer browsing on those. And then we use a weed barrier, either a mat or mulch, to keep down the grass competition. basically try and give our trees that we plant as much chance to grow as we can. And final project here is the Billsburg GPA fencing and planting project. Billsburg is a small GPA. It's about 45 minutes north of Philip, and it's about 80 acres. It's mostly grassland. We've got a couple stock dams, and then there's a couple drainages. There's really only two places of any woody cover on this property. It's here in the kind of the northwest corner. There's just a few willows hanging on here that were getting browsed pretty heavy by deer and cows. And so we came in and erected an 8-foot enclosure on that. And just in a couple years, without any supplemental plantings, that willow patch kind of tripled in size. So we're pretty happy with that response. And there we'll continue to monitor that. And then in the southwest corner, we had, it shows up a little better, I think, in this next picture. In 19, in the fall, you can see just a little patch of plum that was hanging on there. Same thing in spring of 21, we erected another 8-foot fence in there. This picture was taken, the picture on the right was taken just late summer after we erected that fence, and that just so that one growing season, those plums almost tripled in size in their footprint, just keeping critters excluded from them. You see they're still getting pretty hammered out here where stuff still has access to it. And just 2 years later, it's probably 5 times the size it was. So we're happy with that response. We put some, planted some, the bottom side of that enclosure, we planted some choke cherries just to increase our species diversity down there for the future. And real briefly, we also do about, we try and plant about 1,000 trees and shrubs each year by hand with our, when we get our interns here, we'll get started here next week for this season. Mostly do that in GPAs outside of the Black Hills. And we are heavily dependent on rainfall in the year to get these trees established. We do some supplemental watering when we can. But with that, we try and focus on areas with good soil, drainages that are going to retain moisture a little longer, and in riparian areas. And we don't plant too many new shelter belts. We do evaluate areas for that, but where we need shelter belts or where it'd be good spots for them, we really already have them. So a few years ago, we started doing shelter belt surveys, and we kind of focus now on shelter belt maintenance, so identifying areas, shelter belts that could be expanded. Maybe they need some more conifers on one side, or if rows have died out, we'll replace those rows and kind of rehab those shelter belts. So, and with that, I don't know if there's time, but I'm more than willing to take questions.
Very good. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Spring.
You were saying about planting back to native grasses. What kind of seeds or what varieties are you using?
I'll give you my best guess what I think it is. It's a question for Austin. I know it's going to be some wheatgrass, some big blue, I think there was some switchgrass, probably some side oats grama, some blue grama. For cool season natives, there's probably some green needle grass, that big blue stem, like I said. Warm season. The wheatgrass was the other cool season. So.
Thank you.
You bet.
Any other? Commissioner Whitmire.
Good. Impressive number of acres of food plots and whatnot. I was curious, do you do a lot of that broadcast and then just work it in? I mean, I've seen that. I had a neighbor that wanted to establish some food plots, and instead of getting a planter, he was recommended that to him, and I thought that was a great idea. Curious what you guys, you know, if you kind of lean towards going with a traditional planter or if you do the broadcast?
It's almost all of it is no-till with a no-till drill. Occasionally, I think he will do in some spots some broadcast just from an ATV, just in harder to access areas. But I think it's almost all of it that he does is, yes, that no-till drill.
Okay. And then a follow-up. On the soybeans, we use that, which I do the same thing, to reestablish alfalfa. You just got to cleaning up for a couple of years of soybeans, but as a producer, I get to combine the beans, and it's just part of the whole operation. But when you guys do the soybeans, if it's in an ag area and you've got an operator, do you just kind of lease that out for a couple of years, or do you just let the let the soybeans become wildlife feed, and or just how does that work?
Right. So we don't harvest any of the food plots that we put in. If they'll just get mowed off in the spring and then replanted. I believe in some cases, if we contract with neighbors, I think sometimes it's worked in that they can take a certain percentage of what they plant and the rest is left for wildlife food plots. Yeah, but everything that our staff plants isn't harvested.
Yeah, excuse me. I was not on the food plots with the soybeans. It was where you were trying to reestablish native grasses. Where home and I think it was western wheatgrass or something like that.
Yeah.
You were trying to reestablish that where you're actually, you know, kind of like farming it for a couple of years. Is that something, you know, if that's, I'm just curious what you do with the soybeans.
No, that's just left for the wildlife as well. Yep. So yeah, even though that corn and soybeans, that's that Roundup Ready crop that'll eventually turn into our native grass. Yeah, that's just essentially 1 year, or technically, I guess, 3 year food plot. Yep.
Yeah. Any other questions? Just quick, when you are doing this work, how do you determine where you're going to go?
Good question. A lot of us just getting out and walking around and driving around and, oh, I haven't been to that area in a while. I need to go check that out. Kind of developing an eye for that and kind of keeping a running list of projects that I think may need attention. So, yeah, it's kind of a combination of things. Just a lot of it's just getting out and seeing the properties and seeing what needs attention, really.
Very good. Yeah. Very good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We will